So what happens? The mother says, baby Grace needs a chance. The CAT scan's an invasive one. It's $4,000. She goes to the doctor. The last thing she's going to tell the doctor is, the priest told me. Because they think the priest is some kind of an ancient voodoo man. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. The priest should be the most important person in the whole community. If he's listening to God, he has to teach others to listen to God too. Not because he's great, but because we have a great high priest. See, we've given up our vocation. We're just nothing but referral services now. You come to me, I'm going to send you to this one. I'll send you to referral people too, but I'm praying with them. They'll work, I'll pray. People have told me stuff they've never told their therapist after 18 years. And I found it out on the first day. I said, get a rebate. I do refer people. But there is necessity to pray and necessity to seek God. I often tell them, now go tell your doctor this. Anyway. She goes to the doctor. She doesn't say the priest said it, but she says, I want another CAT scan. Doctor said you can't have it. She said, then you said this is rare. She's not going to be cut because I need another CAT scan to prove that she's got this. She says, prove? She's been having infection after infection. Of course she's got this. No operation without another CAT scan. Next week there were no CAT scans, but guess what? An appointment opened up. They didn't do one CAT scan. They did three CAT scans. And the three CAT scan proved that baby Grace was completely healed. And the doctor's going around saying, this is my miracle baby. Whoever gets the credit makes no difference as long as the baby doesn't need to get cut. It's all in the blood. We're talking about the blood of Jesus now, okay? We're not talking about anything else but the blood. By his stripes we were healed. This is what we're talking about. That's why I say you've got to get Mel Gibson's movie and watch it and watch it. And it's all about the blood. Last Wednesday, it was my 25th anniversary as a priest. I had mass at the espousal, then we had a little party. But there was such an anointing for people to get healed, I didn't enjoy the party. I was just praying for people. And one right after the other, they were getting healed like snapping your fingers. There were people who were deaf who started to heal here. There was a woman who had a knee problem that she couldn't even walk without crying, that all the pain was taken away. There was a woman with headaches, gone, in the name of Jesus. It's like when the power of God is there to heal, you don't want to eat egg rolls, even though I enjoy egg rolls. You want to get the people quick healed by the power of the cross, because God is present to heal at this moment. And if he's present to heal, let's run with it. That means insurances are going to be paying less money for operations. And they'll be praying for me, for I have this theory that all these insurance companies have these great prayers and saying, oh, let them not get sick, because if they don't get sick, we don't have to pay out. I'm only kidding. But the point of the matter is, when the presence of God is there to heal, then you just keep on going with it. So you go home a little tired that night, that's wonderful. You'll have a good sleep. But people will be much better off the next day. See, again, we have no idea who is in front of us. I have no idea what you carry, and you have no idea what I carry. But I do know that Jesus is sufficient and that his blood brings healing, and by his stripes we were healed. We had just gone to a service at somebody's house. Many years ago, maybe four, five, 6, 7 years ago. I think I'm going to sit on the step because I feel comfortable. Forgive me. I'll still get loud. About 7 years ago, we're at Artie Boyle's. No, Artie Boyle got cancer of the kidneys. They have 13 children. So they brought him to me. They brought him to Father McDonough. They took him to Medjugorje, you know, Medjugorje. I call it Medjugorje, could make it Italian. They took him to Medjugorje, and he wanted another CAT scan. They said, what do you think, I'm healed? You're healed? He said, I need another CAT. He was healed. As a result, every Thursday night, they meet at Artie's house. They do the rosary, and all these people come. It's totally amazing, especially young men who have cancer. It's like he has a ministry to young men who have cancer. They pray the rosary. Sometimes there's mass. Then they pray over the sick. Well, I was there one night, and the only thing I did to them was I said, I just want you to trust me tonight. We're all going to sing hallelujah for the rest of the night after we have four priests. We're going to see what God's going to do. I'm going to tell you, God stopped moving in that house. It was like we're in heaven. The angels didn't know if it was earth or heaven. They were just scattered all around bringing healing. I got words of knowledge that I never got before. I'm pointing to people, telling them what's wrong with them. And, you know, I didn't know any of these things. A young boy, Eric, like about 15 years old, a beautiful child. I don't think he's been raised in any faith. But whenever I'm in the area, he comes to be prayed with. He sometimes comes all the way to my church. I don't know who takes him. But, you know, his family's not into this stuff. But he knows that Jesus is the healer. A woman that night that we prayed with was scheduled to have a complete hysterectomy the next day. We prayed with her. The operation was canceled. She goes in and says, I need a CAT scan. They listen to me, you know, go get another CAT scan. Hey, listen, what do we have to lose? We're paying the insurance out our noses. She was completely healed by the power of God. Completely healed by the power of God. We went to another person's house a couple of weeks later, and we're under a tent both nights, and we're praying for the sick, you know. And at the end of the service, I'm like a rag, just like a rag, you know, because I know it's Jesus who heals, but you know what? He works through human instruments. And you don't see all these sick people without feeling compunction and empathy in your heart. Lord says you can't feel sorry for these people, because if you feel sorry for these people, you can't help them. You can't use your energy feeling sorry. You've got to come against this miserable cancer in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. So it's the end of the service. That night, all these people were new people. Okay, I didn't know them from a cord of wood. And I knew they didn't know any of the songs. So guess what we started to do? We started singing Christmas carols in August. This is an upper class place. It's not middle class. It's upper. Beautiful, big house. You know, the big houses, the bigger the better. Gorgeous houses. Like mine fits four times in them. And I've got 13 rooms. They're just small. And they're all filled with my junk. My mother always said if he had 40 rooms, he'd fill them up. And she was absolutely right, but I never gave her the credit while she was alive. Anyway, at the end of the night, someone gives me a bottle of water, and I'm drinking, and it's nice and cold, and I'm really tired. And this guy comes up to me, and he says, how you doing? I says, good. And I said, a little tired. He said, I said, what's wrong with you? He says, I have a rod in my neck. Oh, I said, come here, I'd like to pray. He said, oh, no, I've got a rod in my neck. And I'm saying to him, I said, don't tell me you've got a rod in your neck, because if Jesus can't do it, it can't be done. So he said, but I've been, someone's getting healed right now of headaches. At this very moment, the name of Jesus, right this moment. You take it now, please. Do take it, because it's right now. I can feel it. I'm talking about this guy, and now the Lord is healing you. Just say, I take it, and then continue to listen to me. Anyway, he said, I've had headaches for 9 years. Please take it, because it hurts. I've had headaches for 9 years. So I said, okay, I'll pray with you. And I prayed with him, I prayed once. Guess what happened? Nothing. Twice. Nothing. Three times. Nothing. Four times. Nothing. Five times. Nothing. Six times. Nothing. The seventh or eighth time, he says, I feel a little release. Oh, the wife starts weeping now. This guy has been through pain clinic after pain clinic. Pills don't work. The doctor said it's impossible for him to have any help. He's got to live with his agony. The seventh or eighth time, a little relief. By the tenth time, it was all gone. It's over a month that he hasn't experienced a headache. The power of the blood of Jesus brings healing to the impossible. Another headache on the other side, being healed in the name of Jesus. Totally amazing what God knows how to do. But the just man lives by faith. You call on the power of the blood, the new and eternal covenant that brings life and not death, that brings healing and not sickness, that brings joy and not sorrow, that brings deliverance and not torment. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were at Lakeville. There was a man who had his back was fused and has been in agony, and nothing works for him. So we started to pray with him. As we started to pray with him, the Lord gave him the release, and he starts moving his back, and his back is fluid. I never heard that word, but he says, it's wonderful to be fluid. And then the lady who was deaf, excuse me, she was deaf. Do you hear me now? The Lord opened her ear, but not only did he open her ear, but she had black spots in front of her eyes. She was legally blind. They immediately disappeared. Like, it's all about the blood. So we've been having a lot of these things happen lately, like more now than I've ever experienced. The Lord last year, my 24th anniversary, said, I was embarking on a new era in my life. I would see things I never saw, that I was just beginning anew. Oh, when I hear something like that, I get all excited. I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you know, I've been planting lots of seeds in these, and it's not been 24 years. I've been doing it since 68. I was ordained in 79. God graced me. So I'm thinking, you know, what else is there? Like, come on, isn't this wonderful? That God knows how to do all this kind of stuff. And he's choosing to do it now in these last days when the ship seems to be taking on water. Because what does Jesus want to show us? That he's love, that he's healed, that he forgives, that we don't have to be in our shame, that we don't have to be in our garbage. We don't have to be in our pride. We don't have to. Listen, I don't know if you think you're too big for Jesus, but I'm telling you, you're not. You're not too big for Jesus because Jesus is wonderful. You're not too big for Jesus because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not too big for Jesus because Jesus knows how to do it all. He does. It's amazing what Jesus knows how to do. It just takes a little bit of faith. And I want to tell you, faith has nothing to do with my feelings. Faith relies on the blood upon the cross. By his stripes we're healed. Get this movie into your being. Watch Jesus be pummeled by those terrible whip marks. And know that when you go to pray, it's by his stripes the people have been healed. We've got a great visual aid in this movie. A great visual aid. But how many people are going to believe and step out and pray? We just did something in Florida the other day. No, it wasn't the other day. It was like a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago. Oh, time goes by so quickly. Where did September go? Like, where did May go? Like, I'm thinking it should still be like May. And we're almost in October. which means we'll soon have Advent and we'll soon be doing the Easter Vigil. You laugh at me. You blink your eyes and this time is running by. God is speeding up time. We cannot let this time go by. People are perishing for lack of knowing Jesus. We cannot let people go to hell. We have to have a passion for people. Love, care, go the extra mile. Pray, pray, pray. So we're in Florida. So I asked them again, just trust me. Just trust me. We're just going to sing in the Spirit. Going to sing in the Spirit. Going to keep on singing. Well, we sang in the Spirit for 40 minutes. When you sing in the Spirit for 40 minutes, the person that's praying for healing doesn't have to do very much. Because the Holy Ghost has been all around this place. Angels are up and down on Jesus. You know, he's doing the angels. They're just flooding the place. You don't have to do very much. You know, I basically want to be a little lazy. Why do you think all these things happen with Benny Hinn? Because he gets them worshiping. He's no stupid. Oh, yeah, he's the conductor or whatever that means. He's the one God uses, but it's to worship. We don't understand that. We expect, Father, go lay hands on me and I'm going to get better. Honey, don't bank on it, Tallulah. Not unless we've been doing the footwork of worship and praise and singing in the Spirit. I'm telling you, this really is true. I'm not telling you something that's not true. But again, the cat and the mice, who's going to pin the bell on the old cat? Who's going to do this kind of work, this kind of praise unto God? You see, our praise belongs to God above everyone. It's not a service for people. It's a praise unto God. We minister unto God. And as we minister unto God, God ministers unto people. But we've lost that. We've lost that. You know what I've been doing? Terry McCallum has a new album out, The Sound of Heaven. Number four, they sing in tongues. I've been bringing to my services number four, and I've been playing it over and over and over again, and I just have everybody join singing in tongues with them before we pray for the sick. And if we have to do it for 50 minutes, we could do it for 50 minutes. Oh, Rabba Shanda Rabba Ka. But you see, we become too sophisticated. You know, I'm the first Pentecostal church. I'm the third charismatic church. I belong to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Give me a break. Just worship God. Don't tell me what you belong to. Who cares? I am a charismaniac. You know, I don't care about titles. I don't care. I don't care what you call yourself. Just because something's in a cookie jar doesn't necessarily make it a cookie. My mother had a cookie jar. It was Aunt Jemima. You know, Aunt Jemima lived where I live now. Yeah, she had her house in Point Shirley. That's really true. Aunt Jemima. I don't know if you've seen her latest picture on the pancake box. She doesn't look any more like Aunt Jemima than I look like John Travolta. I liked her when she was before, but I guess that was too racist. I didn't think it was racist at all. I thought it was beautiful. She's beautiful, Aunt Jemima. Now she looks like Betty Crocker. Literally, she does. I say, that's not Aunt Jemima. Don't give me that baloney. But anyway, what was I saying? Tell me what I was saying. Cookie jar. Yeah, I don't care about titles. Your titles don't mean anything, and my titles mean less. I'm not on EWTN anymore. They took me off a long time ago. We just haven't updated our thing. You know, I'm not on Mother Angelica's radio program anymore. I was on it for a couple of years and was glad to be on it. And then they said one day, have a lovely day. And I said, thank you very much. And we parted company. But I still think Mother Angelica does a wonderful job, even though she dumped me. She does something that I will never be able to do. She goes around the world in her programs to bring blessings to people. Listen, you don't have to be like me for me to like you. As long as you're doing the work, the will of the Lord, doing what God is calling you to do, you don't have to have my brand, my style, my voice. Hey, listen, you don't need that. There's one is enough. Just do what you need to do, what God's calling you to do. And if that means to dump DiLorenzo, well, you know what? It hurt that I was dumped. But I said, well, you know, it's not my radio station. Period. She had the right to dump me. She's still doing good work. I don't hate her. I think she's a blessing. It hurts. But you know what? It's time to move on. You know, let her continue to do what she's doing. She's doing what no bishop could do, and she's doing what no priest could do. She did it because the just man lives by faith, and she lived by faith. It's just the way it is. The bishops are still talking about it. Oh, yeah, you know what men do. They have a conference after a conference after a conference, and then they have a subcommittee after a subcommittee after a subcommittee, and then they're talking about the positives and the negatives and the maybes and the what ifs, and then they're thinking of how much money do we have in the bank and what will happen if Mother Angelica had $200. See, they weren't doing it. It takes a prayer for woman. It's true. The bishops are still saying, well, maybe, and then they resent her for it. But I'm telling you, the old girl had a lot of guts. And you've got to say this spunky lady, spunky grandmother, this spunky woman with a lot of faith did what no man could ever do for the Catholic Church. It's true. It's true. And I'm telling you, the Lord has anointed her to do it. Because you don't get that kind of stuff done unless God has his both hands on your head, plus his both feet on your feet. This is a contemplative group. By right, they should not be doing stuff like that. But then again, we do not follow the law. We follow the liberty of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So I'm still in Florida now, and in Florida there was this, you know, we start singing and praising God, and people start getting healed. There was one man, I said, you know, neck, it started with the neck. So this old man, his neck was moving really well. He stopped moving his neck, Then backs, his back got healed too. He threw away his cane. Then ears, his ear got healed too. Now he's hearing, he's walking. His back, he's moving. This is an old man, and he's one of the pioneers in the group. Totally, it was wonderful to watch that. So many ears opened up in Florida a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. Just to watch that happen, you know, only because people were praising God. Headaches gone in the name of Jesus. Watch these things happen. Only God knows about what happened interiorly, you know, and what happened in backs, you know, because you couldn't get them all. I remember I was at a service a long time ago. It wasn't a service, really. We were having dinner. And this lady had come up to me with another lady because the lady was leaving the service that was going to happen that night, the conference. We were at dinner. And my friend said, could you pray with so-and-so because she's got to leave. Now, I didn't know why she had to leave. She was leaving because she was bored out of her head. She went to the conference because Daddy was interested in this stuff, and she just wanted to kind of say, I want to do some things that Daddy does. But now she has supper, and she's on her way out. Now, I didn't know any of this stuff. Thank God. So my friend brings her up to me, would you pray with her? I said, certainly. And I prayed with her. I sang a little song. And after I sang a little song, I prayed. And I had no idea what happened. She writes me a letter, tells me that she was leaving the conference because she was bored out of her gourd. But the second I put my hands on her, she said this heat went right through her body. And she had been going through this intense pain for years and years and years, pain clinics and everything. And the Lord immediately took this pain out of her. And she was without pain after years and years and years. But she still didn't believe it. Because how could this really be? Because first of all, she didn't believe. And second of all, she wanted to escape. And third of all, it's got to be an imaginary thing. So she waited a week and it was still gone. She waited 2 weeks. It was still gone. After 2 weeks, she started telling people what happened. She was miraculously healed of the pain that the doctor said she would never be miraculously healed of. And she was leaving. Can you see that God is so different than we are? I would have said, not on your life. Not until you pay your dues. See, I'm a Pharisee. That's why it's not always good to know everything. Sometimes I love just to be in the dark. It's good not to know when people hate you. It really is, because then you cannot lash out on them. You'll only be kind to them. And then you put coals of burning embers on their heads, but not intentionally. Because you don't know they hate you. So I like to be in the dark about things. I like to be kind of stupid so that I can continue to care. Now, when I know somebody hates me and they're trying to get me and my head on a platter, you know, just human nature wants to say, you know what? I'm going to throw some zingers at them. And what do you accomplish by zingers? Nothing. So it's kind of good not to know everything. Kind of good to just do what God's calling you to do at the time. This healing ministry should be going on wherever we are. We just had a baby that was healed at Father Power's grave. This is another interesting thing. We've been going to Father Power's grave in Malden. Father Power had great, great miracles after he died. In 1918, many children and people were healed at his graveside. So the bishops and I believed that that wasn't a good thing, so they moved the old boy, Father Power, and they thought that this stuff shouldn't be happening because 100,000 people were coming a day. And I guess they must have been leaving a little dirt in the Malden Cemetery, Holy Cross. You know what I would be saying? Oh, I'd be saying, we're going to sell peanuts. They must be hungry. Anyway, I'd welcome them. I'd hold services. See, you got 100,000 people. We're going to have mass here. The bishop's coming. When's the last time he spoke to 100,000 people? Well, this is 1919. People be miraculously healed. So we started to go to Father Power's grave every single week. We pray the rosary, and we pray for the Archbishop of Boston and for the priests of the diocese and for the seminarians. That's what we do, just for about 45 minutes every Thursday. After the broadcast, we go to Father Power's grave. That's all. A lady called me up. She was frantic. Her baby had a heart condition. Now, I don't know about heart conditions. On a scale of 1 to 10, they can be 1 to 10. This baby had an 11. I didn't know. Again, it's a good thing not to know things. I remember the day they brought the baby. It was a rainy, cold day. It was not the very warm rain, soft rain of Ireland, I'll tell you. It went right through you. It was chilled to the bone. The mother brought the baby. She's holding the baby, and the mother's hair is filled with rain. The baby's hair, the baby's afraid of me, and I don't blame her. She doesn't know me. I take the baby in my arms. She doesn't want to be in my arms. I pray with her. I give her back to her mother. I pray with her. Little do I know that this baby was scheduled to die. This baby was scheduled not to walk, not to talk, because her heart was so bad. The mother was explaining it to me. I have no idea what you were saying. I'm going like this. The baby is not only walking, she's talking, and she's dancing. Now, they're going to be giving the baby more tests to see what's happened. Like the baby, the doctor said, should be gone. But she's not gone. Barbara was going to have an operation. Barbara's right there. She's going to have a big operation on Monday. And, a lump on her breast. And we had been praising God for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had the crazy Cubans back to Holy Rosary, and they were leading our praise, and it was wonderful. And at one moment on Sunday night, I looked at Barbara, I said, "Healed in the name of Jesus." Next day she went, and they were examining her. They couldn't find the tumor. But this is all a result of praise and all a result of worship. I'm going to close by saying this is what was my guidance to a woman. This woman had been having a lot of trouble. I don't remember what it was, but she didn't tell me what it was. And what happened was this, very interestingly enough. I was leaving the espousal. And as I'm leaving, she says, "Would you pray for me?" Now, she's in deep depression, you could tell. I believe her husband left her. Terrible things are happening in her life. So I pray with her, and I said, "You know, honey, this is what I want you to do." She said, "What?" I said, "I want you to go home and get a pot and a spoon." Now, I know she thinks I'm soft. And I said, "I want you to start marching around your house with a pot and banging your pot with the spoon and praise the Lord like marching up and down. You don't have to do it loud. Just do it." Now, I know that's not her answer, but I know it's a step out of her depression, a step out of her dark hole. So the next week she comes, first thing she says to me, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "Honey, did you get the pot and the spoon?" She said, "No." I said, "I can pray all I want, honey, but you know what? Nothing's going to happen." You're like, "I didn't tell you to do a big thing. You go get a pot, and you go get a teaspoon, and you start marching around with your pot and your teaspoon, thanking God. Just saying, 'Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.' Don't worry about it if you don't feel it. Just tell him." You see, sometimes people just won't do the simplest thing. Barbara heard me, so she got, I'm going to tell you the truth. I haven't done it. I'm not lying to you. I've thought about it, but I still haven't done it. But Barbara took the other day, we went to Father Power's grave, she took a colander and a spoon, a plastic spoon, and it was a lovely sound too. It wasn't a bad sound. I thought it was a bell. A lovely sound. It was a plastic spoon, and I see all these things. I say, "Yeah, these people that listen to me do more than I do." So, you know, if you're having a hard time, I'm not saying that's your solution. But I am saying sometimes just one step out of it is all you need to see just a little light. So you go around like a monkey with a spoon and a pot. What do you have to lose? "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you." Listen. Listen, we're in a hole in the church. And there's one way out. Jesus. And our focus on him. Not on our garbage. My last point is this. We've got lots of garbage in the church. It's all come out. But I believe manure can become fertilizer. Through the power of the cross, if we would let the manure go into the earth of our beings and not put it on our faces and say, oh God, can you change this crap into fertilizer? Can you change what we've done into mercy? We need you. We've messed things up royally. The cross is all we have. The blood is all we have. Through your most precious blood, would you do what we cannot do? Heal the deep wounds of the past. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.